Let's all in.
The day I follow Aubrey Hale Clayton on a wet deck, that day, I cut my throat.
As your leader, I encourage you from time to time, and always in a respectful manner, to question my logic.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of their women.
Let me tell you a little bit about Tyler Durden.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Milk was a bad choice.
Hey, where are the white women at?
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
You can't handle the truth!
You are now listening to Cinema Press Bluffs.
Welcome to episode 83 of Cinema Press Bluffs. So, all right, thank you very much. Yeah, that was a little low. Let's jack up the volume title one time. Whoop. Man, there we go. Get more into it, people.
You're gonna jack what, the volume?
Jack the volume up.
Okay, so I wanted to make sure.
Did I not complete that sentence? Did I not? Was that?
I thought I heard you say jack something else. The volume.
I'm a little pizza drunk. What can
That's
I say?
All I'm saying.
I'm a little pizza drunk. Adding a little bit of beer drunk. That's Drew Sakagra. Drew, how's it going?
It's going.
That one's for you, buddy. That one's for you. Episode 83. We got a lot to talk about. This is very exciting. We got a returning guest, second time on the show, I do believe. You know what? I'm going to let him introduce himself. Why don't you go for it?
Yes. It's the Black David Hasselhoff, a.k.a. Two Watches at a Time, so you know what time it is, a.k.a. a little bit darker than the Black Justin Bieber, and I'm here.
Yes. Anthony Black Hasselhoff Davis from Forget That Yo Radio.
Yeah.
What's up, bro? How you doing?
All right. Everything's going pretty good.
Thanks for coming on the show, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for
coming back.
Me.
Wanted to show you the setup.
Nice.
You're working on your own setup, I hear.
Yes.
You're taking your show to the next level.
Trying to. It's a struggle.
Oh, yeah, it is. Well, the struggle is real.
Yes.
You know, hashtag first world problems. That's how that works. Well, thanks for coming back.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We got a lot to talk about. You saw that Turtles movie, right?
Yes,
yeah, we're going to talk about that Turtles movie for sure. I got a lot to talk about that Turtles movie. Got some things to say. We're going to talk about that Guardians, because we saw that Guardians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy. That's the second week. We got to talk about that. I got a whole bunch of like movie news and stuff that we can get in on. I want to talk about later the crazy slate of superhero movies between now and 2020. It's ridiculous how many movies are coming out. I want to talk about that. We got a lot to do. Pretty exciting. But first, most importantly, before we do any of that, Drew.
Yes, sir.
How was that pizza?
It was delicious.
Oh, it was so, man.
The house special, man.
Oh, the house special, dude. Let me tell you what was on there. It was bacon. Smokehouse bacon.
Bacon, pepperoni, sausage.
But
ham.
It was the ground sausage, though, yeah. Right? It was ground sausage, uh-huh. Ham. Was that shaved? Was it shaved ham?
Yes.
It was shaved ham.
Shaved
that was on
ham. Shaved
also,
ham.
There was green peppers, black olives,
red onions. And slices of tomato, like aroma
yes,
tomato.
Correct.
And I'm starving right now.
And, oh, man. Dude.
I'm sorry.
And of course, sauce and cheese and delicious crust. And yeah. We're not going to say where, because they're not sponsoring us. But hey, if people knew where, they'd be going there right now. You know where. We told you.
Yes, I know.
But they ain't paying us. We ain't trying to.
Hell no.
We ain't trying to do our own business anyway. We're just saying that pizza was good. Thank you very much, Pizza Gods. And then, you know, no wonder, coming out of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Drew goes,
I think I want some pizza.
I want some pizza.
Oh, y'all seen today?
No, yesterday.
Yesterday.
So yesterday. But then it was held over. We didn't get pizza immediately.
Yeah.
We're adults. We didn't have to indulge immediately. Almost did. We almost did.
Almost.
But we had the timing didn't work out so well. But anyway, okay. So we got a lot to do. So after the pizza rundown, thank you, Drew. What are you eating now? What's going on over there? Now you're eating something now too? What do you got? What's going on?
I'm just on one of these, my chocolate chip bars.
What chocolate chip bar? What brand is that?
It's
you just had pizza. Now we're eating chocolate chip bar.
Whatever, man.
No, I want to know what it is.
Nah, it doesn't matter.
But we went down this road.
Don't care.
What brand is that?
I'm not giving in.
He just named 100 pizza toppings.
Yeah, but then look how skinny this dude is, man. It's not fair. That's life.
Yep.
That is life. All right. Well, it's now that we got that out of the way, Drew.
What?
Let's get that Netflix instant pick of the week going. I'll start that baby up. Well, Anthony, if you do the honors, please pick one. Here we go. Every week we do the Netflix instant pick of the week, and it winds down there, and it's all done. And you know, you can go to chriscrespo.com to check the past Netflix picks of the week. Recently was Assault on Precinct 13. We did a Kill Bill one. What was last week? Last week was...
Something.
Was something. It was really good. I swear to God it was good, but it's on there.
I don't remember what it was.
All right.
The Return.
Oh, The Return. Okay, that one gets a polite applause. That's a polite applause.
I don't think I've seen that.
Not many people have. This is a Russian film. Mm. It's a Russian movie. I don't know how to say The Return in Russian, so I will. But it's from 2003. Oh, it's from 2003. I was close. And I think I read like Roger Ebert wrote about this back in the day. It was like one of his favorite movies of the year or something. So that's why I sought it out to begin with.
Okay.
And it's good. It's about there's these two brothers. They're living like in the Russian countryside, and you know they're like maybe 13 and 11, mm-hmm. you know, age wise. And then one day, like, they wake up, and their dad comes home. And dad's been gone for, like, a very long time. That's not really established, I think. He was off doing something that no one's really talking about. And he's, like, this quiet dude, and everyone's obviously very intimidated by him. And for whatever reason, he was going on a trip, I think a fishing trip, and he mm-hmm. decides to take the two kids with him. And the youngest kid is like, yeah, you know, dad's here. I'm super excited to be around dad. But the oldest one is like super wary of this dude. He's like, yeah. Who's this guy I think he is? He's just coming back into our life. And now he's trying to be dad, but he's freaking me out because he's all intimidating. And that's the whole movie. It's about this dad coming back and being with the kids. And the kids would be like, one kid would be like, I don't know about this dude. And the other kid being like, oh, he's dad. I like him.
I know how to say The Return in Russian, too.
Yeah, definitely in Russian. And the movie is in Russian, subtitles and all that. But, you know, I think if people power through those subtitles, they're just words. Don't be afraid of the words. Don't be afraid of them.
I don't like reading the words, Chris.
I can't read them. I can't read them fast enough to see what's happening on the screen. Well, then don't read the words. Just watch what's happening. Movies are a visual medium, the moving image. And trust me, you'll get the gist of it. When they're angry, that sounds like they're angry. Actually,
it always sounds like they're angry.
It does always sound like a thing.
You want to know how to say The Return in Russian?
Go for it.
Horses.
There you go. So just record that. Just copy that recording. Cut it out and play it for people. Like, what movie you watch this weekend? And just play play him saying that. You'll be good to go. All right, so there you go. The Return. Good stuff. That's a good one. That one's been on there for a while, too. I was wondering if that Netflix pick of the week was ever going to spit that baby out, but it finally did.
It did this week, Chris.
That's one of the ones. It's been on there for years now.
You didn't make it sound appealing, though. Like, you was like...
It's the way it's made. It's a very, very well made, very... I want to say it's like a cleanly shot film. There's no... It's not overly stylistic, you know. Mm. They're not. It's not trying to do too much. It's setting out to tell a solid story. It builds to a pretty good ending, like, and it's like, whoa, that wasn't expecting that really, and it's good. And it's really all about the acting, about the dad and the two kids, and the dynamic between the three of them.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
All right,
it's only good stuff. I think I gave it a 4 star out of 5 on the Netflix.
Yes,
It's really more like a 3.5, 3.75. But Netflix doesn't let you get that, you know, that nuance with your rating. So.
Yeah.
So I bump it up to a 4.
Okay.
Well, that's good stuff. All right. So we got that. Let's get into that box office recap for a weekend. Drew, you got some numbers there?
Yeah, I'm going to start off at number 6 this week because I know you went out and saw this morning by yourself while I was asleep.
No, I didn't.
Step Up All In with a weekend gross of $6.5 million.
I thought you were talking about something else. Yes, I did go see that in 3D.
Uh-huh.
I was the first one in line. I see all the Step Up movies that have been in 3D. I see them all opening day, first showing. I haven't seen them.
Yeah. Step Ups. Number 5 this week, Lucy. Had a weekend gross of $9.3 million. Total gross of 97 on a budget of 40.
Lucy, did you see that one?
No.
Do you have any interest at all in seeing
it? I keep hearing it's horrible, but
I wouldn't say it's horrible.
Yeah,
it's definitely not as good as it could have been.
I wouldn't say run out and go see it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Until it comes out, Redbox.
Redbox it.
Netflix.
HBO it. You know.
Oh, okay.
Spend minimal effort to see it because they kind of spent minimal effort making it. So.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's got good ideas, kind of like the good ideas that the the weed dealer at the high school, like his ideas when he's like trying to tell the other kids about like string theory and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's being like all dumb stoner about it. That's Lucy.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Say amen. We're all like connected
and stuff.
Let me tell you about the power of the brain, man.
Oh my God, I'm a giant black computer.
Yeah, that was weird.
What the fuck?
Spoiler. This spoiler doesn't make any sense. Honestly, see the movie. Trust me. All right, let's move on. This is the movie I did want to sneak out this morning and go see by myself. I almost saw the next movie.
Number four, the 100-Foot Journey had a weekend gross of $11 million, same as the total budget of 22.
Yeah, Helen Mirren plays a old French lady cook,
and there's some Indians that they live across the street.
They opened their restaurant right across the street. You see any of these trailers?
No.
It's about what happens. It's a 100-foot journey because it's 100 feet from one restaurant to another. These Indian people move into French countryside, open up their place, and they're trying to, like, you know, show the people what's up. Like, here's a bit of our culture in your stuffy French culture, whatever.
Oh, okay.
It looks okay. It looks light.
It looks like Helen Mirren and the old Indian guy probably fall in love at the end.
Oh, yeah, they probably, or some sort of mutual attraction of some sort. Octogenarian type of, you know, it's... Ugh. I wanted to go see it because, you know, it does look like a nice little story. But then when the reviews came out, they were kind of middling, yeah. You know. So it's not like something I'm going to go rush out and see this in the theater. I don't have that much time, you know.
Yeah, you do. Don't lie.
No, you don't, man. We're only on this earth for a certain number of rotations. And then
you're going to spend at least 2 hours of that one of those rotations watching that movie eventually.
Well, maybe.
It's 2 hours?
Yeah, it's another thing, too. It's like, I think it's a little over 2 hours. You could have told the same story about 45 minutes.
I'll check it out. February 13th.
All right. Speaking of February 13th, that's when I plan on seeing this movie, Into the Storm. Weekend gross of $18 million, same as the total budget of $50 million.
That movie looks whack, man. That looks so bad. Yeah. That looks really bad.
Even the starring the chick bad. From The yeah. Walking Dead, whatever the fuck her name is.
Yeah, whatever her name is. That one girl. That's the only person anyone will recognize. The girl from The Walking Dead. And that's no one knows her name.
Nope.
That's who she is.
I don't know what her name is.
She's a dead girl from The Walking Dead. So she probably dies in this. Right, in the storm. It looks
is she like Sean Bean? Is she the female Sean Bean?
Maybe we need a female Sean Bean. It looks like someone saw Twister, mm-hmm. and they're like, we can do that better but worse.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we got CG now, so now we can have like fire tornadoes. And
but we don't have Bill Paxton.
Yeah, well, we don't have actors or a story.
It looked like Sharknado without sharks.
Right.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Sharknado has come out. Sharknado 2 has come out. Mm-hmm. We've already got fun tornado movies with sharks. They're going to try to beat the tornadoes. What do they got? They got nothing. They got fire in a tornado.
That's lame.
We had flaming sharks in a tornado.
Yes, exactly.
They beat them to the punch.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of stupid. And then every time I see the trailer, they always show the airport and all the planes are, you know, they're blowing away and all the trucks are blown away. And it just looks so fake. Yeah. It looks like a video game cutscene or something, you know. Those video games are looking good these days.
Yeah, they are.
But when you see a CGI like that blown up on a big screen, it has no weight. Nothing had weight to it. Nothing seemed real.
Right.
Nothing seemed real.
Man. Speaking of not seeming real.
Transition.
Number two this week, Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right, here we go.
Weekend gross $41 million, total of 170, almost 176 on a budget of 170.
Only a 56% drop from first week to second week. That's a very strong summer drop. That's a word of mouth type thing. People obviously really, really like this movie. So the reason it made over $40 million this weekend is because people are, you know, like, oh, I got to go see this Guardians, man. You know, everyone's talking about it. Everyone is talking about it.
Everybody.
Yeah. It's a bit of a cultural phenomenon at this point. Kind of crazy when you think about it. So you saw the Guardians.
Yes.
How much did you enjoy it? Because everyone seems to enjoy it. Now it's just about a matter of degrees. So how much did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. What's my rating? 1 to 10?
Whatever you want. You can come up with your own rating. 1 to 10, 1 to a million.
I'd give it a, I'll have to give it a 10 out of 10. I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, damn, there you go.
I did fall asleep. #2sleeps.
Oh, #2sleeps, but it's still 10 out of 10.
But I don't blame that on the movie.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
I have this weird thing with long action scenes, and I just fall asleep.
You just get bored with them?
Interesting. Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
What?
Until you become an adult, man. You're an old man. When you were a kid, those action scenes would be like, oh, they weren't even long enough. But now you're old. You're like, man, where's all the story at? Where are the characters? That's what
happened. What's going on here?
That's what happened to me, because I'll tell you. I mean, I like the movie. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's just, I wish I liked it as much as everyone else. People out there are like loving the movie, flipping out.
They're
for
going
it.
Apeshit over
They're
it.
Seeing it 2, 3, 4 times in the theater, you know?
It's not, dude, it's not that good.
I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah.
Not that good. I mean, like,
I mean, it was good, but it wasn't that good.
I mean, Iron Man was damn good. Iron Man, I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that like 4 times in theaters. But then again, that was also, what, like 10 years ago now? I was a different person then, man.
Yeah.
Grown, we're all old men now. I was telling you earlier, we're old.
We're ancient.
We're old, ancient men. And now we're setting our old, ancient ways, and we're getting impatient with the action. It's putting us to sleep. But still, even though it puts you to sleep, you're like 10 out of 10. I still...
Because I went to see it actually again to catch those parts I missed.
Fair enough, yeah.
On a Thursday night, IMAX, it was sold out.
Was it really?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
God damn. Oh, that's why it's making $41 million second weekend, still banking. You know what? I kind of want to see it on an IMAX screen because the director, James Gunn, did this thing where he was playing with the aspect ratio. Uh-huh. So throughout the movie, it would be like long widescreen, and sometimes it get bigger, more like more of a block or whatever. He'll use more of the screen this way or right to left or whatever, depending on the scene, what was happening in the scene. That would have been pretty cool to see. But yeah, God, it's expensive, bro. The IMAX, and especially the IMAX 3D. Like, here's an extra $3-$4 on top of that. What is that, an $18-$19 ticket?
Something like that.
What the hell, man?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is crazy. A lot of money. Guardians of the Galaxy is cool. You know what? I saw an article that was pretty interesting. I think it was on Jezebel. Uh-huh. Because they're the type of website to point shit out like this. Gamora. Merchandising. Non-existent. Like, you can find toys and shirts and posters of Star-Lord, Groot, Rocket Raccoon, and Drax all over the place. But there's a tiny fraction of that also has Gamora.
Wow.
She got cut out of a lot of stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pretty sad. Which is especially sad considering 40% of the opening weekend audience for Guardians of the Galaxy, 44% was female.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Huge market there. And they're like,
Here's your Rocket Raccoon.
Here's your Rocket Raccoon merchandising. Don't forget. But we know we have this badass chicken here. Actually, they had a couple because that was that blue chick.
Who came back after being crushed to pieces.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty spoiler. Cool. Spoiler, reverse spoiler. Because she came back.
I think I fell asleep on that part.
Oh, see? That's a part to stay awake for.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good part. It's a cool movie. Han Solo / Indiana Jones in outer space. It's Indiana Jones and the Space Lords of Doom. That's what that is. It is. It's all because of Tim. He's being Harrison Ford.
He really is the whole time.
Yeah, which is cool. Nothing wrong with that.
He was cooler than Harrison Ford, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
We need a new Harrison Ford because Harrison's not kicking it anymore.
Dude, he's like 70-something. He just broke his leg trying to do a Star Wars movie.
Yep.
a door fell on him. Like, oh, poor old man. He's got them brittle bones. The osteoporosis, paresis,
whatever.
Oreoporosis.
What?
So Guardians of the Galaxy, you would recommend people go see it.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
You tried to see it again so you can see the part that you missed.
See it in IMAX, too.
Yeah, if possible. It seems to be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would definitely say go see it in that theater. Like, that's what we determined last week, right?
Correct.
There's also, we did last week a spoiler episode where we got into more detail about the movie and what we thought about it. So we can go ahead and check that out. Download that episode to see what we thought. All right, here we go. Got a new movie. What's the number one movie?
Number one movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah!
We could go to approximately $65 million on a budget of $125.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Or as they say in the movie, Mutant Teenage Turtle Ninjas at some point.
That sounds silly.
Remember at one point they were like, they danced around actually saying it and never said it?
Yeah.
That was kind of weird. I was like,
tonight I died on turtle soup.
Yeah, he did say tie it down turtle soup. It's like, why don't you just say it, man? Okay, is this movie, what's this movie rated? Is it PG-13? It's PG-13.
God, I hope so.
It's got to be. Yeah, that's PG-13.
Probably for fantasy violence.
But it's a kids movie, though.
Yeah,
totally, 100%.
They were totally making a kids movie, but just with tons of guns and crime and
badass Ninja Turtles.
And badass Ninja Turtle kung fu violence.
Yeah.
It felt a little intense for the kids. And on one hand, I feel like that's a little irresponsible of the filmmakers to make something so obviously geared towards children. But to make it in such a way that's like, this is a little too intense for them. That's what I feel like that on one hand. On the other hand, I think it's important for kids to see things that they're not supposed to see.
Like Megan Fox's ass?
That's life. Yes, like long shots of Megan Fox's ass with Will Arnett being like, oh, that's good. No, go ahead. Keep doing that.
Yep.
We worship. This is what we worship in our culture. In our, you know, got to teach your kids young. Mm-hmm. That's how it's done. It's all about the tiny booties, I guess.
Well, her ass looks better than her face does these days.
Oh, take that, Megan Fox. She said you got a booty face with toe thumbs. Drew Sacogren said it. Really? You really think that's better? Do you think she got a weird looking face now?
Yeah, I do. That plastic surgery did not do her well.
She had them big old puffy lips now. Yeah. Like the Goldie Hawns.
Yeah. Goldie. It doesn't look good.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? What are you going to do?
Was there a lot of kids in y'all's theater?
Yes.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
There was not that many kids in my theater.
Tons well, we of saw, it was also a 4 o'clock show.
Yeah, 4:30.
Mine was a 4.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man, there's a bunch of kids in there. Whole families in there. Hell, there's a baby crying during half the movie.
Oh, I hate that.
Good old crying baby. Which, you know what? It was a Turtles movie, so I really didn't bother me that much. I was like, I'm going to miss Michelangelo's dialogue.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
We're good here.
The guy next to me was talking more than the kids.
Really?
That was kinda,
that's annoying. Yeah. But the dudes right in front of me, they were like using the phone and passing it back and forth and stuff. Wow. And again, I was like, it doesn't matter.
It's a Turtles movie. I don't really care what's going on.
I'm not paying that much attention. Okay, so let's get into this. We all saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think we're all roughly the same age. So we all grew up watching the Turtles.
Oh yeah,
right?
Dude!
Right.
I had all the toys.
Yeah, the toys,
all of them.
Watching cartoons.
Yes.
Did any of you guys ever read the comic books, like the black and white ones? He's a comic book nerd. You didn't read them. I didn't read them.
What comic books? Oh, you want me to start reading comic books? Okay, I'll read all comic books.
Yeah, he's got his. What do you got over there? Scalped.
Scalp and Saga.
Look at that. And we're not going to say where you got them from because they're not sponsors.
No, they aren't. But if they would like to be sponsors,
they like to be sponsors
I would
of the
gladly
show. Drew will take your free comic books and tell you how great you are.
Yeah.
We grew up. This is like, I mean, this is our thing. We remember the movies from the first one was like 1990, right?
And then, was that bad?
And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2: Secrets of the Ooze.
Yeah, got where it.
That one was weird because they had Rocksteady and Bebop from the cartoon, right? And then in this one, they're like, okay, we need two more like bad guy animal.
But instead
ooze
of using
things,
instead of using Rocksteady and Bebop, they had some weird Snapper Turtle and what the hell was the dog thing?
Yeah, it was like a dog. It was like
what
a
was the
thing.
Dog thing?
But I don't remember. Do you remember their names? Do you remember their names? I don't remember their names.
No.
That was the one with Vanilla Ice. It was like Ninja.
Ninja.
Rap. Ninja.
Yeah.
Ninja. Rap. First one had MC Hammer, I think. It was MC Hammer. Did he do it? Wasn't MC Hammer? Did he do the Ninja Rap? The T-U-R-T-L-E power?
Teenage Ninja but it wasn't in the movie, right?
No. Yeah. It was just played during the end credits.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And then what, they had Turtle? Then it was Turtles in Time?
Turtles in Time was Turtles 3.
I never seen that.
You know what? And it's weird. Even though, did you like
if you've seen the newest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you might as well go see Turtles in Time because they're pretty much on par.
Yeah. Mm. That's the thing I was thinking. I'm watching this movie, this new Turtles movie. And as I'm watching it, I'm trying to think back. So the first Turtles movie, the live action one that we saw.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
kind of on par.
I'm thinking to myself, now was that actually a good movie?
No.
Because I haven't seen it in a while.
It was awful.
With Turtles 1?
Yeah.
Man, that's classic epic. I love it.
It is, but is that your nostalgia? Do I think it's great in the same way that I think There Will Be Blood is great? Or do I think it's great in the same way that I think Ernest Goes to Camp is great? Because I think Ernest Goes to Camp is fucking great.
Well, I have the DVD.
Of Ernest Goes to Camp? So do I.
No, of Turtles, the first
one. Oh, yeah, which is fine.
And I still watch it.
Which is fine. I watch Ernest Goes to Camp once a year. Ernest Scared Stupid. No, I don't watch that one. Ernest Goes to Jail. I watch Ernest Saves Christmas. I've written essays on Ernest Saves Christmas.
Oh, wow.
All right, so, but that's my nostalgia, though, from growing up. I watched those movies when I was a kid. I loved them. When I watch them now as an adult, I can see objectively with my eyes, my senses, my eyes and my hearing,
that
and
is
my
not
taste.
Good.
They're not good movies.
But how is Turtles fighting? What more do you want?
That's the thing. Now, I loved, this is something I didn't want to bring up, those Stan Winston special effects, man. Those turtle suits. I mean, actual dudes are wearing suits. They looked badass.
Yeah.
The mouths were moving. And then they're doing full-on kung fu fights. They're spin kicking and like doing tricks with the shells and stuff. You would think it would be a lot more encumbersome to try to fight in those suits, but those guys are doing an awesome job.
Yeah.
You right? 15 years later?
No. CG Turtles.
25 years later, almost. You can't tell me they can't make suits on par or better, that you gotta go the CG route? Was that?
Well,
was,
I think
was
these
necessary?
Turtles. I think they definitely looked better than the original.
What?
I mean,
you like them better than the
like
than the suits,
dude. The suits were great, except for the heads. The heads were the worst part, and totally made it. That's what made it
so
the, 25 the campy
year,
movie.
25 they look like the cartoon.
Yeah, they did look like a cartoon. 25 years of advancements, it could have still had awesome suits with updated heads.
Yeah.
Would it look better in CD? I never once did I look at the turtles and think that looked real. Like, that the texture, the lighting, never, ever, ever did I look at the turtles. There were a couple times when I looked at Splinter.
Splinter was awesome.
Some of the ways that they moved his hands, some starts of his hands, some of his face, like, that looks fucking real. My problem with Splinter... He is extremely unappealing to look at.
Yes.
I mean,
he is an ugly, fucked up rat.
He is disgusting to look at. The big, all black eyes, yeah. like a shark that wants to eat. He looks soulless.
Yeah.
And then the whiskers and the huge mouth, and he did not look. I was looking at him. I was like, I'm glad it did not
eat. The giant hairless tail.
This. Yeah. Yeah. When he was using the tail, I was like, ooh, that kind of made my skin crawl a little. Like, oh, that's gross. That's gross. I was off put. By the design. But that's the only... Like, there was a shot of him picking up a sword, yeah. You know? And I remember looking at that and like, all right, now that looks like... Did they slip a puppet in there or something? That looked surprisingly good. But for the most part, the turtles... And also the turtles, too. The actual design of them, the look of them, not appealing. They are ugly-looking things.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Baxter.
That brings up another thing. Okay, listen. We're talking about a movie about teenage turtle mutant ninjas, okay? It's a stupid, ridiculous premise. Mm-hmm. That's just the whole point. The whole premise was supposed to be dumb. Let's embrace it. Why are we making this like movie with the Foot Clan that's just a crime syndicate and Shredder is just some dude with
the
suit?
Yeah, no, where's Krang? Dimension X?
Give me the Technodrome. I want a brain inside a robot suit, you know? I want the neutrinos. I want Rocksteady and Bebop. I want just crazy, over-the-top insanity. You can still make it for kids.
Yeah, totally.
You can do all that stuff and make it for kids. Some stupid, ridiculous story, but at least embrace that absurdity of that world instead of the most it gave us was just like Shredder
with some weird
his suit thing where like he would go like shing and had like eight
shot knives and then
the knives came back.
Yeah,
so lame.
They could have just but that's like the one little bit of ridiculousness that they did. Everything else they tried to, and then at the end, was that supposed to be the turtle van?
Yes.
That was a turtle van?
Yeah.
That was a pretty whack looking turtle van.
Yeah, it was.
Looked like a Jeep Wrangler with some green velvet on it.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
And some green check carpet on the walls. Yeah.
Come on, guys. But you know what? It's a kids movie. Even though I think it's too violent for kids, which is a good thing and a bad thing. For what it is, it's like I want to hate on it, but I'm not going to hate on it, man. It's a Turtles. It's a new Turtles movie. Did you see the animated one?
No, I didn't.
From a few years ago? I actually liked that one more than this movie, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, remember that one, Drew?
Which one?
TMNT.
That was the best one they ever made.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. The only problem with that one that keeps it from being classic status is the villain. It's like some villain they made up.
Yeah.
And the Foot Clan's in there, but they're working for these people, like just hired help. There's no Shredder. Like, they tease Shredder at the very, very end. Like, he'll be in the next movie.
But then they never...
They didn't make enough money, so they never made another movie.
I think that was the best Turtles movie they've ever made.
Like, the Turtles, those were the best. Like, they knew there was a definite definition to all the Turtles. You know, they really focused on their personalities. Like, this one, I don't know. Like they kept saying Leonardo was the leader. But was he the leader? I didn't feel like he was doing much leading. And then I kept hearing Johnny Knoxville's voice.
Yeah.
Oh, I have another question for you guys. Does any of the other turtle movies pull at your heartstrings like part one?
Oh, like when Raphael gets all beat up and they're at the farmhouse and they're just and they're bathing them in the that's the only one that has any like real emotion to it.
See, that's why I loved it.
And they're like, you know, like, we're a family, man. We gotta do this together. And then
they go
back to the city. Uh-huh. Yeah, they kinda try. It wasn't the same. The emotion wasn't in this one at all. It felt heartless. It felt like we're making a lot of money here.
Yeah.
You know, we got Megan Fox. So wearing a yellow jacket. There's no Krang. We're good to go.
Yeah, I want Krang.
For real. What's so hard about giving me a little brain thing with tiny arms?
Yeah.
Seriously. It can be voiced by Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes, Daniel Day-Lewisery. That would be awesome. So, all right. So, but Turtles, I would say if you got kids, you're looking for a family movie outing, yeah, I guess, you know, matinee, you go matinee it up. Otherwise, I would just wait for DVD. You know, watch it at home. That's what I was. So what would you say? Would you recommend people go see in the theater?
Well, me, I like just how big the screen is and stuff and colors. Absolutely, so yeah, I gotta say theater.
Yeah, word, Drew.
DVD.
Drew's a DVD guy. DVD. All right, here we go. Well, that's your review of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. New movies coming on DVD this week. Muppets Most Wanted.
Sweet. But never saw it.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it either, so finally get around that. A Haunted House 2.
Don't care.
Never saw the first one. Mm. You know, Marlon Wayans said the reason they called them A Haunted House is so it would pop up first on, like, Netflix lists and stuff.
Nice. No. Yeah,
very, very smart. Always thinking ahead then, Marlon Wayans.
They should have called this last one A Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Just single. It could have been just about, like, Donatello or
just
something.
Just one spin-off movie. Yeah. Just about Michelangelo, who was a dummy rapist. Because he kept trying to... Isn't it weird how he kept, like...
He did.
He
really
that.
Wanted the banger.
Really?
Yeah, he said his shell was getting tight.
Like street harassment?
Which was oddly sexual.
Yeah, he said his shell was getting tight.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what the key to these movies to make them good are, like, Rocky Rocket and Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, Rocket Raccoon. Yeah.
Always have that one funny character. Because it makes you pretty much forget a lot of the bad stuff.
You would think so. Yeah, yeah. But I think they were trying to make him and Donatello the funny characters, but neither of them were that funny.
You didn't think Michelangelo stole the show? I mean, I loved Mikey.
Not really. I mean, he's always been my favorite turtle.
Uh-huh.
The nunchucks and the pizza, the love of pizza. We had that in common. But in this one, I don't know. He had that whole... He was wearing double necklace thing, like a puka shell necklace, mm-hmm. and like another shell necklace thing. And he had the sunglasses like hooked into them.
I didn't
see that. And then he never wears the glasses. They're perpetually hanging off
of
his necklace.
Well, it's like
necklace.
The same thing. Even during the action scenes,
Raphael.
He's got them on his head the whole time.
Raphael has sunglasses on his head. And there was one action scene where it's like he got hit. Uh-huh. And then the way he moved, I was like, oh, there goes the sunglasses. They're going to go flying. I thought they were coming off his head. And then it was like, no, they're still on there. They never moved. It was fucking weird.
Kind of weird.
Weird design, man. And like at the end when they're dangling on the thing, off the skyscraper, and they're like, oh, they're swinging around. I looked specifically at Michelangelo's sunglasses hanging off his necklace, and they were there.
Yep, still there.
They're still there. They weren't going nowhere. That was dedication to character design.
Oh, man.
To the artistic design. And Locke is coming out on DVD.
Ah, Tom Hardy in a car.
Interesting movie. Locke is Tom Hardy, who's Bane in The Dark Knight Rises. Mm. He plays an Irish dude who movie starts with him. He's getting off work. It's at night. He gets into his car, and he starts driving. And then, like, you see him. He's thinking he makes a last-minute decision, and he starts driving down the highway. And then the next hour and a half of the movie is him driving down a highway, going from one city to another. Doesn't leave the car. Doesn't cut away to anyone else. It's him in the car the whole time making a series of phone calls.
What? And it's awesome.
And it's awesome. It's tense.
What?
It gets tense, dude.
Yeah.
I'll give you this. I almost hate telling people what the phone calls are about because that's part of the fun of the movie, all the information unfolding.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tell you what. The two phone calls that like he starts things out with that really get the things going. First, he has to call the people at his job because he's like a construction foreman. And they're getting ready. It's the eve of like the biggest construction job in the history of Europe. And he's like super integral part of the whole thing. He has to be there, but he can't be there. Something came up that he hasn't. So he has to call them and like organize all this shit over the phone. And everything's going wrong. And he has to like do all this troubleshooting over the phone. Meanwhile, he has to call his wife and tell his wife that he cheated on her. And he's on his way to the birth of his bastard child in another city. And he has to break the news on the phone, and then he's got to call the pregnant woman on the phone and talk to her, and she's like, "Do you love me?" And it's all this. And then the way the things happen, it's crazy. It's so weird how just a dude talking about his infidelity to his wife and then trying to make sure this the construction job goes well, how tense it gets. It gets so tense. And you're just like, and then like, then he hangs up the phone and he's like, he's gonna make the next phone call. And you're like, oh my god, he's gotta make this call. Here he goes. And he's dialing, and it's ringing. He's like, oh shit, it's ringing. Here we go. It's crazy.
I gotta write this down.
It's good. It's called Locke. Locke, because that's the guy's name. His name is Locke. All right. It is.
Tom Hardy in a car.
Tom Hardy in a car. That's the whole thing. Yeah, it is good. It's interesting. All right. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
Coming out in theaters next weekend. We got the most ridiculous thing ever, Expendables 3.
Hell yeah! Can't wait for that. What, you know what is ridiculous about it? It's PG-13.
What?
Yeah. The first two Expendables were totally R, and this one's PG-13.
Lame.
Trying to make that money.
It's not gonna.
They're gonna try.
Seen a bootleg, sorry.
Ah, you already saw the bootleg?
Yes.
And what'd you think?
I mean, pretty much like the rest of them.
Is it really? It's no better, no worse. Also, it would be better because it's a different director. It's this Australian fellow, Patrick Hughes, who's pretty good. You didn't think the action scenes were any better? Antonio Banderas, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford. Come on, all these great
people. Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes, yo.
They were good, but I mean, not much separation.
All right, fair enough. That's what I was worried about. Well, it's coming out in a New York
theater. Also coming, we got Let's Be Cops.
All right, so with Jake Johnson. I think the other guy's a singer. And Damon Jr. The junior weigh-ins. Good for him. Looking more and more like his daddy with every commercial.
Yeah, seriously.
Kind of freaked me out a little, actually. I saw Chris Miller of Lord Miller. The guys who directed the Lego Movie and 21 and 22 Jump Street. Chris Miller tweeted out that Let's Be Cops is really funny. He really enjoyed it.
All right, word.
So if he liked it...
Well, it's rated R.
It is rated R. Oh. At least that's rated R. Movies for adults.
Yeah.
You know, why not go to make Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rated R if you're going to, you know, pretend that it's a kid's movie and it's not. Just make an R-rated Turtles movie.
That'd be cool. I'd see that.
Michelangelo can fuck April O'Neil. Finally get that out of the way.
Giant turtle dick.
Finally get it out of the way. All right, because apparently that's what some people want to see if it keeps being brought up throughout the movies. Like, my shell got tight. We can finally see what that means when the shell gets tight. What does that mean?
I don't want to see that.
What else is coming out, dude?
The Giver.
Oh, The Giver. Yeah, that weird looking. Have you seen any of those trailers?
No.
It's based on a book.
It's based on that. No, it's based on the worldwide bestseller. Because that's what's in the trailer.
Oh.
And it's, you know what? It's this movie looks good. It's important. I think it's important that there should be more young adult novels set in a dystopian future in which a younger protagonist questions the authority in charge.
Because it hasn't been done a million times before.
We need more.
What we just saw. What was the one that just came out?
Hunger Games? Divergent?
Divergent, yes. And then there's obviously the Hunger Games.
Yeah. And then there's this.
And then there's this.
And then there's other stuff.
But in this one, I think the protagonist is a boy instead of a girl.
Uh-oh.
Flip it. Yep. Finally, gender equality. About time. We had some men and some hero roles around here.
In preteen dystopian novels.
The one thing I did like about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this particular movie did focus, like, April O'Neil was the center of the story.
Yeah.
You know, they went ahead with the, and kind of made her more of a adventure seeker, like, you know, she's, more of a protagonist, a hero.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like letting the turtles do all the work. She did a bunch of stuff for the first half of the movie. And then at the end, she like gets kind of pushed aside and doesn't do much. But I was like, hey, look at this. It's a movie. It's a big budget movie aimed at kids where the lead character really is a woman. It's a female. Ugh. And that's kind of hard to find these days.
It is.
It's progressive.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Too bad it's old mung face Megan Fox, according to Drew.
Seriously.
Not that
yes,
looking.
Yes, that's exactly what I said. Those were the words that came out of my mouth.
Mungin Fox. Mungin Fox. That's cruel, Drew.
It is.
Megan Fox, we apologize.
I don't.
She's listening.
I don't care.
Brian Austin Green, please don't beat up Drew.
Please come and try.
That's everything coming out in theaters?
No. Well, there's another movie coming out, another rated R comedy, Frank.
Oh, the Michael Fassbender movie?
It's got Scoot McNairy in it, too.
And Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
And Domhnall Gleeson, son of Brendan.
No, nice.
Actually, I think that one comes out wide release in a week or two.
Okay.
So that's a limited release. That one, Frank, this movie. They
looks
actually,
weird.
These guys are just on the Colbert Report. Michael Fassbender was on Colbert promoting this movie. And he plays a guy who's a singer of a band, and for almost the entire movie, he has a big paper mache head on,
yep.
and he talks and sings through it. That's his thing. He's like a very charismatic dude with his huge head thing. And after he did the interview on Colbert, they actually performed a song. The band, like Maggie Gyllenhaal, played the keyboard, and like the band from the movie was there on stage. And then Fassbender put on the head, and they sang
and
a song.
Frank thing.
Yeah, it was adorable.
Interesting.
It was cute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll definitely be seeing that eventually. Like, that one came out Sundance Film Festival this year and got really good buzz behind it, really good word of mouth. So it's always important to get people talking about your movie in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Know what I'm saying?
All right, here we go. Let's take a break. Crespo Disco time. I got a couple songs here. I actually picked these songs for last week's show, right? A little bit of inside baseball. Picked these for last week's show because I was feeling like in the 80s mood. But then we went and saw Get On Up, the James Brown movie, which was even in the top six this week.
I gotta see that.
That's crazy. It already dropped out of the not even in the top five the second week. That's sad, because that's a good movie.
Wow.
But I went and saw that, and the music was like, get my brain, man. So I had to play a couple of James Brown songs during last week's Crespo Disco. So these songs, what I picked from last week, I'm playing them this week. Good story, bro. Pointer Sisters, Beverly Hills Cop, Neutron Dance.
Ah.
Remember in Beverly Hills Cop when at the beginning he's trying to do the cigarette truck bust? And then the other cops come and they blow it. And then, like, he's dangling in the back of the truck.
Oh, yeah.
During the chase scene. And that song's like, doom, 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 doom. That song. I'm playing that. And,
that song.
But I think before I play that song, I'm going to play this one from the Karate Kid soundtrack.
Sweet.
Mm. When he's fighting in the All Valley karate tournament at the end.
Yes.
The Joe Esposito song, You're the Best Around.
You're the best around.
Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Yeah,
it's a good song.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hope you guys enjoy it. We're going to take this break. We'll be right back in the second half of the show. We got so much to talk about. Here we go.
Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. Itself. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Try your best to win them all, and one day time will tell. When you're the one left standing there, you've reached the final bell. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Crespo.
Alright, welcome to the second half of episode 83 of Cinema Crust Police. I'm your host, Christopher Crustable, co-host, Drew Cogburn, Drew.
What up?
And special guest, Anthony Davis, Anthony.
I'm still here.
Sweet. Alright, we're chilling. We're having a good time. Talking about Kool-Aid and peeing in the pool.
Yeah, all things we did as kids.
The show during the break is even better than the show that we actually record. Let's get the plugs out of the way. ChrisCrustable.com. Go there. Now. Thank you. Rate and review Cinema Crespediso on iTunes and Stitcher, and follow us on Twitter at Crespediso and on Facebook at Cinema Crespediso. Drew, where can people get you online?
At Antihero419 on Twitter and Instagram.
Anthony, please tell the people about Forget That Yo.
ForgetThatYo.com, ForgetThatYo, and
it's got to spell for the white people.
At Emerge City on Twitter.
Yes, and buy some Emerge City swag.
Yes, please.
Please do some sweet shirts, awesome designs. Birds come up out of flames.
That's right.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. All right, so there you go. Those are your plugs. Thank you, folks. We're all done. No?
Actually, all right. Adios.
No. Got some more stuff here. We got a couple of things. Big news this week. Someone realized recently that in May 2016, the first weekend of May, it was like May 3rd, both Captain America 3 and Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice are both scheduled to come out the same weekend.
Not anymore.
Oh, wow.
Not anymore. Someone had to move. And if you had to guess who would have moved, who would you have thought between those two, who would have moved first?
It wasn't Batman.
Oh, hell yeah, it was.
It was Batman.
They moved like little bitches because they knew them. They had an inferior product.
Now, see, that's the thing. People are saying that Warner Brothers and DC, they essentially blinked first. They played chicken and they lost, and they moved from the first weekend of May to the last weekend of March. So now their big summer movie is coming out around, what's that, mid-spring, early spring, the end of winter. So a lot of people are saying, that's them saying they're conceding. Marvel is bigger. Captain America is bigger than Batman v Superman. But that's not necessarily the way it is, if you look at it in terms of business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Captain America 2. Winter Soldier came out this year. That came out in early April, like the first weekend of April, a full month before all the summer movies in May. Traditionally, the summer movies have been the first weekend of May through mid-July, right? And then August, before Guardians of the Galaxy, movies didn't make that much money in August. But now Guardians of the Galaxy almost made $100 million. So now people are like, oh, shit, we can make money in August, right?
Mm-hmm.
Captain America came out in April, open to over $80 million, and since there wasn't any other movies come out for 4 weeks, it had enough room to make like $250, $280 million in the bank domestic, right? So now, Warner Brothers, they're taking a page out of that book. They're going to start the summer as early as possible by releasing their movie at the end of March. They're going to break a March opening weekend record. They'll probably be the first $100 million opening weekend ever for the month of March. And then they'll have all of April to make money before Captain America comes out in May. So they'll have a 4 week head start on them. That's business right there. That's what that is. It's pretty big though. People are freaking out over that BVS : DOJ.
I'm not looking forward to it.
You're not even looking forward to it at all.
No, I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to the Batman v Superman stuff.
I don't know how it's going to work.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to work in the Wonder Woman or the Aquaman or the Cyborg or what Lex Luthor is going to do or Scoop McNary. He plays the guy. I don't know who he plays with.
It just seems so convoluted.
It does seem like.
And bloated.
Is this a 4-hour movie? Right? Maybe it was a 4-hour movie.
But it's not.
But it's not.
It's going to be like, what, like 2:15?
Probably 2:15. Yeah. A destructive 2:15, I would hope. Maybe. Perhaps. You'd see. Let me see here. Okay, let me pull up some. I got some of these movie news here. Where's that episode? Yeah, this is ready to go, but I didn't. Okay, so Jean-Claude Van Damme. 80s Jean-Claude Van Damme.
JCVD.
Two of his best movies were Bloodsport and Kickboxer.
Mm-hmm.
Kickboxer is getting the remake. It's getting the remake business. And there's a cast. Let me see.
It's going to be trash.
Okay. Oh, here we go. I don't know, man. That's a pretty good cast, and it's just going to be a kickboxer movie. First off, objectively speaking, that kickboxer movie, it's not like it's that good.
No.
It's a couple of training scenes, a couple of fight scenes, Van Damme does a couple of splits, and the movie's over.
It's an 80s Van Damme movie.
It's an 80s Van Damme movie, and then they put the glue on their hand with the broken glass. Oh, they have God. That fight scene, and I love it. I love the movie, but it's not that good. You know? This one is going to be starring Dave Bautista, you know, Drax the Destroyer. He's super popular now, right, with the whole Drax thing. Scott Adkins, who was in the last Universal Soldier movie.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Which is actually a pretty crazy movie. Universal Soldier... Reckoning? Regeneration. I can't remember any of it.
I don't know.
It was a crazy movie. And Tony Jaa. From Ong Bak and Thai Warrior. Ong Bak Thai Warrior. What's the other? The Protector. The Protector. Did you see The Protector? Kills the elephant?
Oh, no.
Man. The one where they kill his elephant.
Muay Thai.
And he has to go revenge the death of his elephant. It's good.
Oh, okay.
It's good. All those guys are going to be in a remake of Kickboxer scheduled to come out next year. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just an action movie. It's just going to be a remake of Kickboxer. I mean, what's like...
Why they don't have Michael Jai White in it?
Michael Jai White?
Yeah.
It should. Because he's too busy being awesome doing Black Dynamite cartoons.
Seriously.
And hopefully Black Dynamite 2.
God, I hope so. I'm
still waiting for that Black Dynamite 2, man.
I'm still boycotting it.
Well, the Black Dynamite?
Yeah.
Why?
It just looks stupid.
Have you seen it?
Have you seen the movie?
No.
It is the funniest thing you will ever see in your entire life.
You gotta see.
It's so good.
You got to start with the movie. See the movie.
Then the soundtrack.
And then the soundtrack. Oh, the soundtrack.
And then the cartoon series.
Black Dynamite, dude, is so good.
Dynamite.
So good.
I threw that shit before I came in the room.
Please promise me, though, you'll see Black Dynamite before you see the World Star Hip Hop movie. Because they're making a World Star Hip Hop movie. Drew, you ever go to worldstarhiphop.com?
Yes. Yeah. I'm familiar.
Check out a couple of fight videos.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah. You know what you got to do is say... pop up in front and go, World Star! You want World Star? That's how you get on there. That's how you get on there. If you give them a video of fighting, ain't gonna be on there. But if some dude then jumps in front of the camera, goes, you want World Star? Then they put the video up.
Sweet.
That's how it works. So Russell Simmons and Paramount are teaming together to make a World Star Hip Hop movie. People have already been joking online that it'll be the first movie ever to be filmed entirely in portrait mode. Straight up. And yeah, you know what? The initial thing when I hear something like this is like, well, it's a site where it's a bunch of, you know, like fight videos and, you know, pregnant chicks slapping each other and stuff like that. So maybe it's like a Jackass type thing where it's gonna be all like real people doing really stupid stunts, like an hour and a half of that.
Yeah, no.
No, it's not. It's a fictional movie. And they likened it to, what did they say it was gonna be like? They had a weird example. Oh, it's gonna be akin to Ferris Bueller's Day Off in tone.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So they're making the World Star Hip Hop version of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Hope you guys are ready for that one.
Boo.
Ugh.
Promise me you'll see Black Dynamite before you see the World Star Hip Hop movie, bro.
Know,
come
man.
On. Black Dynamite.
It's so good.
It's so good, dude. I can't.
It really is.
I can't even emphasize how good that movie is. It's so good. We got a Spider-Man spinoff movie coming out. And it's one that Drew's been wanting to see.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Just not, most like not in the way you're going to want to really see it.
Sweet.
But, yeah, they're making a spinoff movie coming out in 2016, reportedly going to be called Venom Carnage.
Ooh! My Carnage movie is rated R.
Yeah, your Carnage movie is rated R. Not this one.
Yeah, no.
This is gonna be a PG. Don't. This is gonna be one of those PG-13 movies for the kids type deals. But it's with Carnage. For people who don't know, tell me who Carnage is.
Okay. So if anybody remembers or knows anything about Spider-Man lore, when Spider-Man had the black suit, you know, the symbiote,
like in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, exactly. Like Spider-Man 3, and then you know it becomes Venom. Well, at a certain point in time in the mid 90s, like I guess. I forget if it was some comet or if there was another infected astronaut or something, but another symbiote comes. But this one's even more evil than Venom. In fact, so much that Venom actually helps Spider-Man in the end.
Wow.
So there you go.
To help fight Carnage.
So there you go. That's where we're going to be getting. Sometime around 2017, we'll be getting this Carnage-centric, Venom-assisted Spider-Man movie. Are you a fan of the Spider-Man movies at all? Or
yeah.
Did you see the last one with the Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, I like the new Spider-Man guy.
I like the guy.
Mr. Garfield.
Andrew Garfield's good.
Yeah.
He's good. Wish the movies were better, though.
Yeah, that movie was, oh, man. It's like you threw too many characters in it and not enough time
for
action.
Yeah, yeah, for real. It's like, I had some things that were cool about it, but other things was like, you guys could try it a little harder. I think, and try to make the story work. You know, instead of just reverse engineering all the way back to, I guess the movie's not long enough, and I can say all the way back. It's all about just building up to Gwen Stacy's death. It's like, we got this,
finally.
We gotta get to this death. And oh, shit.
Finally, they killed Gwen Stacy.
Here we go. Finally, they killed Gwen Stacy. Here we go. Juicy Cardboard versus Red. Juicy Cardboard versus Red. Here we go, Drewster Cogburn versus the world. You, sir, are 8-2, is that correct still?
Yep.
8-2. He's kicking ass this year, I'll tell you. He ain't fucking around. That's all the sparring rounds we do. I'm telling you, it keeps his brain muscle strong.
It's all that losing.
All that lubing and losing. So this one, I think, is going to be a pretty easy one. Interesting to see how this goes. We're doing.
I hate it when he says he thinks it's going to be easy. It never is.
It's a fill in the blank. All right, I'm going to give you the movie title with a blank. You got to fill in the title. And it's the numbers edition. So there's always going to be a number that's missing, okay? Drew, so I believe you... did you lose last time? No, you won. You lose? You won.
I don't remember. It all blurs together, Chris.
It's all blurred together. Anthony, I'll let you choose then, because we can't remember. Do you want Group A or Group B?
Group B.
All right, here we go. Fill in the blank. Number one. Blank Samurai.
Shaolin.
They're all numbers. No, incorrect. Seven Samurai. They're all numbers. Here we go. Number two. Plan Blank from Outer Space.
One.
Ooh, Plan 9. I'm sorry, Plan 9. Remember that one? It's an Ed Wood movie. Famously known as the world's most worst movie ever made. Number three, Blank O'Clock. No, I'm sorry. Don't want to get it. Number three, Blank O'Clock High. That's it.
Six.
Oh, three. The answer is 3 o'clock High. I'm sorry. You never saw 3 o'clock High? That one's on Netflix. That's a really good one. Number four, Blank Things I Hate About You.
Ten.
Yes, there you go. 10 Things I Hate About You is correct. And finally, number five, Attack of the Blank Foot Woman.
10.
A 50. Oh, 50 foot woman. Five times the size. So 1 out of 4. There you go.
1 out of 5, you mean. 1 out of 4.
That's what I meant. 1 out of 5. That's what I meant. 1 out of 5.
Remember, he said these were easy, too. So imagine what this hard stuff is.
All right, here we go. Drew, you ready? Number one. The Magnificent Blank.
7.
That's correct.
Oh.
All right, so you guys are tied. Number two, Blank Mules for Sister Sarah.
3?
No, 2. We're so close, 2. Number three, Ladder Blank.
8.
49. Number four, Blank First Dates.
Oh,
50 first dates is correct. And number six, K Blank the Widowmaker.
19.
That is correct. So you got 3 out of 5 there. Drew wins. Good job, Drewster.
Thank you.
That was fill in the blank. The tiebreaker
was.
Was
rough, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was a little harder than I thought it would be. The tiebreaker was how much did Ocean's 13 make worldwide? How much do you think it made worldwide?
50 million.
Interesting. Oh, like 130.
$311 million worldwide for Ocean's 13.
311. And they made another one.
No, that was the third one.
What about 4?
No, that was they did Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. They need an Ocean's 14. I'd see an Ocean's 14.
Might as well.
Might as well keep if they're gonna make $300 million worldwide.
Million?
Why stop now? Just because you're bored with it. That's no reason to stop doing something. Actually, it's the best reason to stop doing something. This movie, came out last year, was nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards. Nebraska, black and white film. I don't know if you guys remember that at all.
Yeah, I remember.
It's a good movie. It's definitely it's more of a dramedy. It's got a little bit of comedy in it, but it's about a dude who's kind of it's going off his way. And he thinks he got a publisher's clearinghouse thing that says, "Yo, you won," you know, and he thinks he really did win. Mm. So he's gonna walk on foot to Nebraska to try to claim his prize. And his son's like, "You can't walk all the way." So he agrees to drive him, and it's like a road movie and. It's sweet, but, you know, a little sad. It's funny, but dramatic. It's got all that stuff going for it, right?
Okay.
And it's black and white, so not very many movies are made black and white anymore. It's kind of a hard sell. But Alexander Payne, the director, he managed to convince the people distributing the movie. It's like, let him do a black and white movie. He did have a caveat where he had to also turn in a colorized version of his movie. And this was for select markets, like... In Moldova, you know, or, you know, the Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, crazy markets like that where you didn't expect many people to be seeing the movie anyway. And, you know, for whatever reason, they just wanted a colorized version for their market. So he did that. Now he finds his colorized version of this movie being shown on EPIX tonight, actually.
Oh, really?
This weekend, tonight, EPIX are doing the debut of Nebraska. And they're showing the black and white version, and they're going to show the colorized version. And he doesn't want anyone to see the colorized version.
Wait, what's EPIX?
It's Epix. One of them, Epix. I call it EPIX. Epix, it's one of these, you know, like HBO or Cinemax or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Or one of these...
cable movie channels.
Yes, precisely. And they got the rights to do Nebraska. And for some reason, they're showing the color version.
Oh.
As well as the black and white version. And that's making the dude mad. Why don't you feel if he put out a piece of art one way, and then someone was like, "No, we want this art, but we want to change it to make it more, we feel, more commercially accessible."
You know well, I mean? I mean, if you gave in and gave them what they asked for, then by all means.
For a different reason, though.
Whatever reason it was, you gave in.
Yeah.
You put it out there.
It was the only way I could make my black and white movie to begin with.
Well, sorry, then. Too bad. At least they're showing the black and white version.
Yeah. Stick to your guns and just make the black and white version.
Man, this guy, Drew, he's a stone cold whore master, this guy. Right?
Now, I could see if they, like, let's say he just made the black and white version.
Yeah.
And they took it and colorized
it. Ted Turner style.
You see, that would be one thing.
Yeah.
But he made a color version.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I'm sure he didn't think it would anybody in the States would ever see it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's him, you know, living in a fantasy world.
Apparently. Fantasy world all his own. Because, you know, I'll be seeing it. In color. I'm gonna watch a color version. Yeah. I already seen it in black and white. I want to see what it looks like now in color. All right, we got some questions. All right, so you guys come down on the side of big government and corporations and screw the artists. Okay, that's cool. Okay. All right, got a couple questions here from people. Got these on Twitter here at Rage Against Twit. Gave us a Crespo Disco 2-parter, inspired by Crespo Disco. Not gonna talk about music. Why do movies float around 120-minute mark? And also, pro sports games run 3 hours long. Shouldn't movies be longer? I guess, you know, I did hear a long time ago that the magic number for summer blockbusters, 2 hours and 6 minutes or okay. 4 minutes. That's supposed to be the sweet spot somehow. I don't know if it really is or why it would be or whatever. But that's what they say. That's what I heard. That's 120 minutes, 2 hours.
No.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it doesn't... Shouldn't all movies just go sports events are 3 hours? Should movies be 3 hours? Soccer games are 2 hours, aren't they?
Yeah.
Soccer games are 2 hours. You know, I think it's a Roger Ebert quote. He said once that no good movie is long enough and no bad movie is short enough.
Correct. You know, it's the truth.
But it just flew by my eye. Oh, my God. I got that moment.
I think it's just a bunch of... what you call it? When they do surveys and stuff on people,
test screening. Test
yeah, audiences. I think it's a bunch of tests,
market testing.
Market testing, yeah. And they got a number, and that's what they've just been sticking with.
So many people said we like 2-hour movies.
Yeah.
So now everyone's making 2-hour movies.
Yeah.
When you hand in the idea for handing the screenplay, you want your screenplay to be between 90 pages and 120 pages because mm-hmm. if it's a page a minute. Then you're looking at a movie that's somewhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours. Generally, you don't want to write a screenplay that's over 120 pages. So if that's conventional wisdom, then yeah, you're going to be getting a lot of movies that are about two hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, it shouldn't matter. The length shouldn't matter. It's all about whether a movie's good or not.
Yep.
JoeyD_5 is the potential schedule for the 2017 Marvel DC movies too overwhelming? I took that a step forward. Does he just want to talk about Marvel DC movies in 2017? I pulled all the Marvel DC movies for Disney, Warner Brothers, Fox, and Universal. From now, well, from next year through 2020.
All right. What do we got coming out, Chris?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So many movies. May 2015. So the first big movie of next summer, Avengers 2.
Yes.
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. That's going to be a biggie. That's going to be huge. Going to make a lot of money. A lot of money. June 2015 for Fox, their Fantastic Four reboot.
Okay.
All right. The very next month for Marvel, Ant-Man.
Okay.
So their Ant-Man movie with Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas come out next summer after Avengers. It's their first post-Avengers Marvel movie.
Yeah.
With Ant-Man. Jump to 2016, March 2016. Aforementioned Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Yes.
All right. It's gonna be awful.
And then it's gonna make a ton of money all throughout April. Then May 2016, Captain America 3.
Yes.
A couple weeks after that, X-Men Apocalypse for Fox.
Yeah. Yep.
2 months after that, Marvel's Doctor Strange.
That's going to be a weird one.
That's going to be weird. And then the month after that, DC has the movie Untitled. Yet to be announced which one. But they've claimed a whole bunch of release dates.
Okay.
So we'll be getting a DC movie in August. Could be a Green Lantern. Could be Wonder Woman. Could be Guy Gardner. Could be The Flash. You never know. November 2016, the end of 2016, Sinister Six for Universal. That's their Spider-Man villains. Spin-off movie. All their villains. Doc Ock, Vulture, who else? Electro, Lizard guy, maybe.
Sandman, perhaps.
Goblin dude, perhaps. Sandman-ish.
Wait a minute. So if it's all bad guys,
yes.
Is Spider-Man on vacation?
I think so. Yeah, I think he's just chilling. I don't think Spider-Man's even going to be in it.
So how does this end when the world blows up?
Or? I have no idea. I don't. I have no idea what they're doing, dude. That's what they're doing. They're doing a Sinister Six movie next. Before they even do a Spider-Man movie. That's their next one. It's a Sinister Six movie. Now we're getting to 2017. In March of 2017, we're getting the Wolverine 2, which they're going to film right after they do X-Men Apocalypse. May of 2017... there's a Marvel movie coming out in May, but they haven't announced which one. It could be Thor. It could be a Hulk movie. It's whatever is building up to Avengers 3, right? June 2017, another DC movie unannounced. In July 2017, Fantastic Four 2 already announced. Fox is banking on Fantastic Four doing so good in 2015. They want the sequel to come out 2 years later. Also, you know who's playing Doctor Doom in Fantastic Four? The dude who played Koba in the recent Planet of the Apes movie.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, Toby Kebbell, an English guy. He was in Rock and Roller. So July 2017, Fantastic Four 2 and Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is also coming out July 2017. And also sometime that summer is when we're supposed to be getting that Venom Carnage movie, Carnage Venom, whatever it's called. Yeah. And also some sort of female-centric Spider-Man movie. It's what they've been, what they put out there.
So
what could that be, Drew?
What, we're talking Black Cat, maybe?
It could be. Black Cat. Toby, the Spider-Man was living next door to Black Cat and all those original those Spider-Man movies with the Tobey Maguire ones.
Yeah.
But she never Black Catted it up.
No, she didn't.
No, she just like made some muffins or something at one point, or some cookies, I think. Didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
November 2017, both Marvel and DC will be putting out movies. In 2018... Fox has a 2018 movie coming out, and Universal has Amazing Spider-Man 3 in 2018. Marvel, three movies come out in 2018, one in 2019. That's probably going to be Avengers 3. So we're looking at Avengers 3, 2019.
Avengers 3, colon, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Infinity Gauntlet. And DC has six movies scheduled to come out between 2018 and 2020, which is a shit ton of movies. So we're talking about 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Almost 30 superhero movies between now and 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. Spanning four different cinematic comic universes, movie universes.
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be too many. It's too much.
That's over $300 of my money.
Yeah, dude. That's a lot of money. A lot of time. And they're not all going to be good.
Nope.
No. A lot of them are going to be a waste of your time.
A lot of them would be really bad.
Especially all these DC ones that we don't even know what they're going to be. Don't even know. They're like, untitled, untitled, untitled. Come on, guys. give us something, right?
Maybe one of them will be an R-rated Lobo movie.
There you
that
go.
Would be fun.
Lobo film about time.
Yeah. I want crazy space bikers.
Yeah. We'll join.
Crazy space bikers.
Yeah, Lobo.
That's a comic.
Yeah, he's a crazy space biker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He would look weird live action.
Yeah, he would.
Like ultra white pasty dude.
Yeah.
Black hair. It's like, talking about fragging people all the time, right? He was a fragging guy, right? At Nathan Williams _ writes on Twitter, Guardians of the Galaxy was very, very good. Not really a question. Just wanted to put in his 2 cents. Nathan Williams.
It was.
Letting us know. He thought it was very, very good.
It was good. It was just a little hollow.
Hey, but he thought it was very, very good. He thought so. I also got a couple questions here on the Twitter. Not on the Twitter. That was Twitter. I also got a couple questions here on the Book of Faces. Let's see. Where we got? Where are them questions at? This one's from a good man, Tom Lucas. He writes, why was Guardians of the Galaxy not so great? See, now he thought it was not so great.
What?
He should listen to our spoiler episode of Guardians of the Galaxy to find out how we thought Guardians of the Galaxy was not so great.
Yeah.
We go into it in depth.
We do go into it in depth, into some spoilery depth, which we won't do here because not about them spoilers. And also on Facebook, shout out to your boy, Chris Ellis.
Yeah, forget that, yo.
Stone L Terrible wants us to do a Crespo Dome battle because he writes, better actor, Denzel Washington or Eddie Murphy? I say Eddie. When he plays the clumps, you forget he's the only person at the table. So here we go. Crespo Dome battle. Eddie Murphy versus Denzel Washington. First off, who's the better actor?
Denzel Washington.
Denzel
Washington.
He makes a good case here about the clumps and the Nutty Professor. Eddie Murphy is very good.
He is. He is very good, but he is not Denzel.
We're talking about Malcolm X over here.
We're talking about Man on Fire.
Denzel. Dude made a plane go upside down. Yeah. He's like, we're going to roll it.
Yep.
And then I believed him doing it the whole time. I believed it. Training Day. We're talking about Training Day, Denzel.
Yeah, seriously.
Vampire in Brooklyn. Yeah, whatever. Cool.
Coming to America.
Coming to America. Oh, my God.
Beverly Hills Cop.
He was the one guy and then the old white guy.
Yeah.
And then Arsenio was the other guy. Yeah. And then some other dude was the other dude. It's like, who's throwing this guy a bone?
But I didn't know the other dudes were any Murphy. A couple.
When I first saw the movie when I was a kid, yeah, I had no idea. Just some old white guy. You know, who is that? Velvet? Like, that guy is great. Yep. That guy is awesome.
That old Jewy Eddie
old
Murphy.
That old Jewy guy. It was old Jewy Murphy. Now, who would win in a fight, though? Denzel Washington or Eddie Murphy?
I mean, if Denzel has learned anything in his years as being a badass.
He's played like action movies, yeah.
Yeah. If he's learned anything from doing that, probably Denzel, because I'm not sure if Eddie could even throw a punch or take a punch these days.
Has Eddie ever thrown a punch in a movie? Even in the Beverly Hills Cop movies?
He shoots guns.
Yeah, he shoots guns, but these guys are going to be fighting. They're not going to be gunfighting.
Yeah.
So
pretty sure Denzel's
I'm with
win.
Denzel.
Yeah. Sorry, Eddie. Sorry, Eddie, and sorry, Chris. Man, he was going Eddie Murphy, but yeah. I think we just went 3 for 3 on both counts. Denzel over Eddie Murphy, but Eddie Murphy, don't feel bad. You can still be on our show whenever you want, and we'll kiss your ass.
Oh, totally, 100%. Because
Fleece.
You're Eddie Murphy. All right, finally, let's finish this one up with our homeboy, New York City show correspondent, horror film expert and aficionado on Twitter at I Love Blood, Billy D.
I am wearing a shirt today.
Wearing that's our boy Billy D right there.
Ah.
He's our New York City correspondent. He writes in this week, good morning, my dudes. Oh, he wrote this at 6:45 this morning.
How good morning, Billy.
I read an article this week about the Monster Squad remake officially being dead. Just like the author, I was a bit relieved and disappointed. Platinum Dunes remake, so yeah. Platinum Dunes, they did the
Turtles
movie that we just saw, and they did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, which is a good deal. The Friday the 13th remake and the Nightmare on Elm Street remake with all that stuff. He writes, relieved and disappointed because the Monster Squad is kind of perfect for remaking. I know the typical reaction to remakes is usually less than favorable, but let's switch it up. What movies do you think are ripe for remaking? I can think of two off the top of my head.
Okay.
One that we've talked about before on the show, I think, Drew. Westworld.
Yes. All the time we talk about
this.
Have
you ever seen Westworld?
No.
Westworld is a crazy movie from the 70s, written and directed by Michael Crichton, who wrote Jurassic Park and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie where you go to a theme park and split up into three sections. There's like Medieval World, Westworld, and I forget what the other one is. But they're all like based on different time periods. Mm-hmm. And you go in there and you pay a lot of money and you dress up to fit the time period. And then there's like people working in there, so it's like you go into Westworld, it's like the old west, so you're going to some old dusty town, there's bartenders and shit and gunfighters, but they're all robots. It's all, the whole town's populated by robots, and they're there to do the bidding of the customers, of the guests, and then the park breaks down. And
just like Jurassic Park.
Just like Jurassic Park. The park breaks down, and all the robot workers, they turn and start killing all the guests. And they gotta get the hell out of there.
I gotta write that down.
And then most of it takes place in Westworld, in the western part. One of the guys who goes into Westworld is Josh Brolin's dad, James Brolin. It's pretty awesome. And then the cowboy guy is played by Yul Brynner from Magnificent Seven, and he's even dressed in the same all black getup and everything, which is pretty badass. And he's walking around like a robot, cool. He's going like draw, just saying that over and over, trying to shoot people. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
So I think that would be really good for a remake. We just watched the movie the other night. Was it last night? Two nights ago. No, it was 2 nights ago.
2 nights ago, yeah.
French film called Elevator to the Gallows. I would remake it. It's a total like Hitchcockian style thriller where it's just, you know, people trying to do treacherous shit, and then when they're trying to cover it up, things go wrong, bad timing, a mistake here, a coincidence there, and then everything just starts falling apart around them. It's got a score by Miles Davis. The only Miles Davis score out there. Keep the score 100%. Use it in the same type scenes. I would almost do like almost sequence for sequence remake of that movie. Mm. That's a French film from the 60s, I think. Late 60s, mid to late 60s.
I think late 50s.
Late 50s? Was that old? It's a good movie. It's pretty cool. That's totally perfect to be remade.
Okay.
You think of anything, Drew?
I think we're about time for that Gremlins prequel. Not necessarily a remake, but you're Billy Dee's Gremlins prequel.
The Mogwai.
Yeah.
All right.
I want
something based off. They are doing like a Gremlins remake, prequel, sidequel, sequel type of thing.
Not like yours.
Rebootquel. No.
There's no World War II giant weird gremlins coming out of the water, demolishing
aircraft carriers. That would be an awesome scene where Japanese kamikaze planes with gremlins on them, like in crates. Then when they crash into the American ships and then they hit the water, they bubble up and they turn into a bunch of gremlins, and then they just storm the ship.
And then
they go onto the deck and they start attacking all the sailors and shit. Like, no! And they're being eaten by gremlins. And the music's like Danny Elfman, like boom, 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 boom. Can you think of anything that would be worth remaking?
I want Spawn remade.
Yeah, that needs to be, just so you forget that other one.
Yeah.
Just watch the HBO movie that's animated. It's better.
Yeah. Well, I would like to see a live action one, though.
And my other movie is Neverending Story.
Oh, that'd be
that
a cool
would be
one.
Fun to remake.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a classic, but it's not perfect. It could totally go for an updating.
Yeah,
totally. That's a good one. I like that. Good one, dude.
But I want that giant weird dog dragon thing to still be
look the same.
Regular effects.
Okay.
Practical effects. Right. No CG. I don't want a CG dog dragon thing.
What was the name of it?
I forget.
Because it had a name.
Yeah.
And he had to scream its name. It's like
it wasn't Atreyu, because that was the name of his horse.
That
drowned in the mud.
That was sad.
It was. It was really sad.
Yeah, that was sad. Yeah.
See, kids need to see stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, they do.
But dude, you don't have to have guns, though, and like the Foot Clan trying to rape April O'Neil.
Raper O'Neil.
Hey, that was uncalled for. She's a cog. All right, that brings us to the end of the show here. I got a lightning round.
That's the worst lightning ever.
That's thunder.
Lame.
Here we go, Anthony. Ready for a lightning round? I got 10 questions for you.
Okay.
We're going to bang through them. We're going to learn a little bit about you. Get deep inside your brain, psychologically speaking. We're going to splay you open and let the world see what really makes you tick.
Did you just say we're going to splay him open and bang his brain?
That's what I said. Drew!
Pause.
That's what you said.
Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, what is your favorite room in the house?
Bedroom.
Number two, cotton candy, funnel cake, corn dog. Which one do you kick out of the bed?
Funnel dog.
Funnel dog. All right, yeah, funnel dog. Funnel dog. Number three, do you believe in love at first sight?
Yes.
Number four, what was your first car?
Beat Down Corsica.
Was it specifically the Beat Down brand of Corsica?
Yeah, I only drove it at night.
Number five, what is one thing you would like to be better at?
Time management.
Number six, who was your favorite actor?
Denzel Washington.
Oh, well, that was a loaded question. Number seven, pick a number between 1 and 10. And just think of it. Think of it. Think of a number between 1 and 10. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it number 8?
No.
Oh, I don't want to know what it is. Number 8. What was the last book you've read?
The last book I read was, what's the name of that book? Sister Soldier. I forgot the name of it.
Just Google Sister Soldier. It'll pop up. Maybe. Number 9. Name 5 board games.
Scrabble. Pictionary. Guess Who. Life. And what's that game you... Oh, my God. Jenga.
Jenga. All right, there you go. And finally, number 10. If you could choose your last meal, what would it be?
A soul food platter. Sweet potatoes, ribs, sweet cornbread, greens, macaroni and cheese.
From anywhere in particular?
From my mom.
From your mom, specifically mom's.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's your lightning round. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
There you go. Appreciate it very much. And part of you get the swag bag. Juicer Cogburn, can you unpack the swag bag?
Swag.
Let them know what we're taking home.
Sir, you are the proud owner of a Hot Wheels HW Race Great 4 track.
Yeah.
Tiny little car.
Nice. Oh, awesome. You can play with that on your track at home. Very cool.
You've got a 100-piece puzzle bug happy birthday party puzzle.
Oh, it's going down.
Man, that's minutes of entertainment right there.
Yeah.
You've got the original Silly Putty. Silly Putty brand, actually.
Except no goddamn imitations.
How about eat it?
It is non-toxic.
Oh, man. I want this treasure hunt. You got the treasure hunt version of The Proposition.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movie, by the way.
Crazy Australian Western with Guy Pearce. Enjoy.
Some dude's head explodes.
Some guy's head explodes.
And jokes and gags mustaches to add to the one you already have on your face.
Oh, yes.
But now you can switch up the style mustache without having to switch up the
And you got a couple packs of Smarties in there, too.
And there's some Smarties in there for your sugar fix. So there you go, sir.
I appreciate it.
No, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Remember, people, check out Forget That Yo Radio. ForgetThatYo.com. Follow them on Twitter at Forget That Yo. It's a good show. I like it. It's good stuff. What are you up to? You're episode like 90 now or something, right? You're in your 90s.
94.
God damn. That is something. So definitely check it out, guys. Shout outs to Chris Ellis, Stone El Terrible, Stone the Terrible, and Mr. Randy Watson on the Twitter. Both those guys are great. Thank you again. Appreciate it. Drew, sir, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, sir.
And that's the end of the show. We'll be back next week with episode 84. We'll be talking about that Expandables. And you know what else we're going to do?
The Expandables?
And the Expendables.
They're
doing that next. First, they're doing the Expendables, which is... and that's serious now. They're doing it. Expendables is an action movie, but all women.
Oh.
So they're doing the ladies' version of Expendables, which should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. I think they should follow up with the Expandables, and that's all old fat versions. Like, Steven Seagal could lead that one.
Yes. He is the Expandables.
He is the Expandables. teasing this next weekend, episode 84, we are going to do a Crespo Diso review of the new Harry Potter sections at Universal Studios. Diagon Alley and all that stuff. We'll be checking that stuff out. We'll let you know what it's like. So, stay tuned for that. And, okay. Yep. That's it. We're out of here.